Being confident and comfortable in your own skin is no easy task.
But on Project Runway Redemption, 8 alumni designers return to prove they have the confidence, comfort, and talent that it takes to push the limits.
This season on Project Runway Redemption, the returning designers are here to prove that maybe, just maybe, the judges got it wrong the first time around.
With a newfound confidence in their work, they'll bring their unique creative vision to life through the fabulous clothes they create.
It's all fun and games, of course, but let's not forget, it's a competition. The designers will be battling it out to claim those redemption bragging rights and more.
Can we talk about how this season also features a challenge from the iconic Cyndi Lauper herself?
Yes, it's inspired by her bold fashion choices over the years, and she even sent each designer a pre-selected fabric to incorporate into their garments.
Stream Project Runway Redemption, sponsored by Novartis, now on the Bravo app, BravoTV.com, or Bravo's YouTube channel.
You can also check out Cyndi's podcast, PSO in the Know, for more stories of confidence, comfort, and hope. Visit PSO, that's P-S-O, in the know.com. Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Shocking news this week. Portia Williams will not be returning to Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh my God. I mean, last week we dealt with Cynthia.
Right.
Grieving from that. Now we're grieving from Portia.
Yeah. This one hit me hard.
I know. I mean, losing two is a lot, especially back to back. Right after one another. Come on.
And Portia, come on.
I know.
And I really wanted to understand her relationship with her new fiance. I really wanted to be able to get that.
There is speculation, as always, that bringing this relationship to the show in another season might not be productive for the couple.
Like she didn't want to involve the cameras.
Well, can you imagine next season if Kenya comes back, how she would approach Portia's relationship with Simon, the things she would say and do
right
on the show. So can we blame Portia maybe for wanting to keep this new relationship a little bit more private at a very sensitive time?
Right.
I don't know.
Good move for her personally. Bad for me personally.
Exactly. In positive news, Below Deck Med Season 6 reunion has taped.
Ooh.
And do you know what I love? We actually still say that the reunion has taped.
What?
As opposed to filmed. Like taped means on film. I feel like so many things are digital now.
Right.
Like the way they actually film is on digital in a lot of instances. We're old school. What can we say? We're taping right now. This is on a cassette.
Oh, and Portia Umansky, Kyle Richards' daughter, had her bat mitzvah.
Can you believe 13 years old? I remember her just being a little thing, season one, those curls, so freaking cute.
Yep.
I mean, she's still cute, yeah. But like 13
but now
cute
she's
is a different
woman.
Yeah, a little lady. Very pink feathery dress she had on.
Yeah.
So cute. There were a ton of people there, PK and Dorit, Lisa Rinna, Sutton, Crystal. Kim Richards, of course, Teddy, also yeah. in attendance, and our friend Justin Sylvester, Kyle's BFF. He's from E's Daily Pop, and we've had him on the show before.
A couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Okay, we have to discuss Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yep.
Salad toss is upon us. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yep.
And, of course, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills finale.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm sad the season is over, but at least we have 4 more episodes of reunion to look forward to.
4.
Plus, I interviewed Ascala Davis from Real Housewives of Potomac. So stay tuned for that.
Potomac?
Yes. Before we get into what happened in this episode, we had discussed a little bit last week about Mia and her behavior on social media. I gave her a little bit of praise about how I thought she was really good about owning things that she's done on the show and responding to fans and putting things into perspective. However, some of the situation that happened with her and Ascala, when Ascala kind of got loud with her, Mia called her a mediator. It spilled over onto social media and the two of them kind of went at it. And I actually talked to Ascala about this in the interview, so you'll hear a little bit more. Mia also said it was someone else running her account, which is something, right? We had talked about that in relation to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And after this exchange with her and Escala, moms were brought into it because it was stemming a little bit, I think, from the Candace situation, her mom and Mia talking to her. Essentially, Mia said she is firing the person that she was employing to run her social media account. She was looking for someone who would better represent her and her voice on social media. So it's just interesting that the timing of that.
Also, just do it yourself.
Right. Are you that busy?
I just can't. And if you are, don't be on social media.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, I understand the upkeep of the brand, but when it comes to actually like giving your thoughts and all, I just think it's too dangerous to trust someone else.
And I don't want it to continue being an excuse for people to act out on social media and then saying, oh, that wasn't me who did it.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Right.
Anyway, let's get into this episode.
I feel like we have to start with Mia's husband. Drunk G is a lot.
Don't we all know a guy like that, though, who is hesitant to go on a trip? You know, he's like, oh, I don't really want to go. I don't want to be around people. I like doing my own thing. I want to stay home, be in the comfort of my own home. And then they get there, and once they are surrounded by people, they turn up extra hard.
I feel like I do that sometimes. Mm. Like, if I don't want to really go out, I just, somehow that's the night that I end up doing the most with shots and, like, all of that. And it's just like, what is wrong with me?
It's like overcompensating for your previous self.
Right.
Well, he definitely overcompensated. They started taking shots right off the bat, and he definitely turned before anyone else seemed to.
Right. And I will say, it's not like he got angry, maybe a little surly when he told Mia to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But other than that, he just got really, I don't even know the word. Like, what would you say?
Inappropriate?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, with certain gestures.
Oh my God, the gestures when he's talking about white strippers.
I don't like the gestures. That's too much.
And eventually she'll say, well, I like that one.
Well, Gordon likes white girls anyway, so.
I do.
You like white girls? You like Becky with the good hair. The dark
chocolate. I like black women.
Wait a minute. I like my chocolate.
Look, where the white women at?
What are we talking about today?
Anything.
Hey, somebody take that drink away from G. Gordy,
come give me the drink. I'm trying to tell you.
I will say, Candace being so judgy of G and Mia and talking about his dick.
Mm-hmm.
Candace, her first season, told everyone Chris has a brown dick.
That
okay?
is very true.
So, Candace, really? Like, come on. Well, you did the same thing.
Well, now that you bring up Candace.
Yeah.
I find that she walks that line between being shady and straight up mean.
Yeah.
And I thought we were seeing a different Candace this season, but her behavior in this episode and a little bit in the previous one is starting to feel familiar.
It's interesting because, so I've been spending a lot of time with my mom. I had gone to Texas for a couple of weeks and then she is here with me. And when I was in Texas, I was preparing for a Life After Bravo interview. So I was having to watch Old Potomac.
Oh.
And then once we got started, she'd never seen it. And she was like, well, we got to keep going. So we're like, we have just every day just been binging Potomac from the beginning.
God. Doing the Lord's work, Megan.
Yeah. And I have to say, I do not see a lot of growth with Candace. Like,
interesting.
You know, rewatching all these episodes, they're fresh on my mind. And yeah, I agree with you. I feel like there was a little bit, it was almost like what we got with James Kennedy in the first episode of Vanderpump, where he's like, I've grown. And then you see all those text messages he sent to Max. And it's like, have you? And I feel with Candace, I get what you were saying. Like, the beginning of the season, there was hope that, like, she's come out of this whole Monique altercation a bigger person
with a different approach to situations.
And this episode absolutely solidifies that that did not happen.
I agree. And what I was thinking about watching this episode is she is the type of person who pokes and pokes and prods and prods and hits where it hurts. And Mia seems to be generally unbothered by it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I can't believe how much Mia took before she exploded.
Right, and she barely exploded. She threw a little bit of lettuce.
That's okay. True.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And the comment about, like, broke bitches and all of that. Like, I was just like, you know, that's petty. But it took her a minute to get to that point.
Right. Well, and what I thought was really interesting was Candace's behavior is what I think Dorit thinks Garcelle's behavior is. Because remember, Dorit has been saying, you know, you kind of, what was it?
You, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the gesture. I know you guys can't see me doing the gesture, but she was like, you needle a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't think Garcelle does that. I think Candace does that. Candace talks about other women's physical appearance.
God.
She makes all sorts of comments. Again, walking that line of being shady versus mean. Like, Giselle is very good at being shady.
Right.
I don't think Giselle is very often mean or cruel or says things that are insulting or offensive.
Right.
But Candace sometimes crosses that line.
Well, and it's like she's so unwilling to listen to anyone because everyone kept saying, Candace, you don't know Mia's story. And Candace was like, I don't care. I don't care about her story. Why aren't you defending me? And it's like, shut up and let them tell you because you are sounding like an asshole right now.
Well, maybe listen. Yeah. Listening is important in getting to know other people, getting to understand other people, and getting the larger context as to why things you might say or do will upset someone.
It's also like, let's compare what Mia said that was so bad to a similar situation. Candace is ultimately upset because Mia called her. Well, she's upset, of course, because Mia, you know, asked the mom the thing about Chris, which I think is whatever. But then she got really insulted that Mia called her video shoot low budget. Now, let's remember on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills a few seasons ago, Bethany Frankel from Roni had come to the Hamptons and was saying to Erica Jane, oh, I saw some of your music videos and they seemed a little like low budget. Like she said that. And Erica let it roll off her back. And she was like, okay, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
Candace should have taken that approach.
Right. Right. Well, and it wasn't a huge budget, I would imagine.
Right. The cars didn't show up.
Didn't show up.
Can you blame them?
And it is interesting because you'll hear more also in the interview with Escala talking about how Mia often brings up business and is always like, oh, it's nothing personal. I'm just talking business. And Escala brought up the point that this was a couple's trip where everyone has been working a lot, working from home amidst the pandemic. Escala was looking at it from the perspective of let's not talk about work. But for Candace, those lines between personal and professional are blurred. She has a husband who's her manager. He was responsible for this shoot. So in some ways, Mia is justified in her questioning of the whole thing. But obviously, Candace is going to take it more personally than just business because it is her as an artist. It's her husband being her manager, the whole thing. So I sort of get where Escala is coming from with that.
Right. I guess it's just that Candace said herself in this episode, I'm an indie artist because I don't have a label. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have a huge budget. Like, you're, you know, doing the best you can.
Right.
I guess I also was really upset how she started to call G a pimp and, you know, calling out that, like, Mia and him met in a strip club. And I was like, more power to Mia for being so open about that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's kind of a cool way to meet your husband.
I mean, look at the relationship between Nene and Greg.
Right.
Where did they meet? Same place. Like, that perspective of, oh, you met him at the strip club, really minimizes their relationship and their experiences together. They've been married for 8 years. They have children together. I mean, it's like, why should that matter?
Right.
You know, where'd you meet Chris? At a restaurant?
At a restaurant,
that
yeah.
That you worked at. Yes. So what's, you know.
What's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, Mia said that her strip club served steak. Everyone wore gowns. It was a very nice place.
And if it wasn't, who cares?
Exactly.
Where's your pimp? Calm down. Where is your pimp?
Pimp, where you at? The hoe is here.
Where's the hoe
has
your go and drop it like it's hot for your pimp. Pimp. Because he needs to put you back in line.
My pimp.
Tell her to shut the up again.
Do it, pimp. Come on.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, but this I really needed to call out. That Candace, Mia's trying to walk away. She's trying to disengage from the conversation. And Candace said, you started with me and you need to learn how to finish.
Oh, boy.
And it's like this, I can't even talk. I'm so mad. Candace, what do you think happened with Monique?
Yeah.
Stop trying to get a reaction.
Right.
Because you will get one.
And haven't you learned that yet? Come on.
Yeah.
My last thought on Potomac is I actually felt really bad that Giselle, up to this point, wasn't really invited, included in a way. And I think Giselle should have just gone and brought Cal with her and been like, whatever. I don't care if I don't have a man. I'm confident in that. It's fine. I'm going to bring Cal because he's my partner in crime right now. But we have seen in the preview for next week, she does end up coming with Robin, so it's all good. I like when everybody's together. But I just kind of felt bad. You know, I for a long time in my life, in my 20s, before I met Danny, I was the single person who went to a lot of weddings by myself, would bring a friend along to certain events when it was couples related. So I just kind of feel bad knowing where Giselle is in her relationship experience right now.
You know, I just had this conversation with a friend who is longtime single. I think will probably be single maybe forever. Like, she's really happy in that. And I feel like I've been too, hesitant to ask her about that. Like, in terms of how do you feel when we do couples things?
Yeah.
And, or whenever other people do. And she was like, invite me, like and don't make a big deal about it. Don't point out that I'm, you know, single or whatever, or make it a, you know, just invite me. And yeah, if I come, I come, you know? And I was like, good to know.
Yeah.
Cause I just didn't.
She'd rather be included than not.
And, exactly.
You know, that shows a lot of who she is.
Yeah.
Competent.
Yep.
Invite her over right now.
Yeah. Come on over.
I chatted with Ascala Davis from The Real Housewives of Potomac about how she met her husband, what she thinks about this season of Beverly Hills, and everything that's gone down so far on the couple's trip. Let's take a listen. All right, guys, we are here with Ascala Davis from Real Housewives of Potomac. Ascala, what's going on?
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I know. Hi. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, I want to play a little game to start because I want our listeners to get to know Ascala better. So I want to do like a quick fire round of questions and you just got to like answer the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs. Okay. What are three things that you never leave the house without?
My cell phone, my credit card, and my lip gloss.
Right? That's all you need.
Yes, more than my ID, my lip gloss.
Besides Candace, of course, whose music video would you want to star in?
Ooh, Beyonce, definitely. Number two would be The Weeknd, because we're both Ethiopian.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, you already have an outfit that you could wear, the one you wore to the goddess.
Yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm kind of, he wouldn't even have to pay for the attire on set.
Right. Coffee or tea?
Coffee, 1000%.
Absolutely, I agree. Tell us about how you met your husband.
Yeah, so my husband was on tour with one of my girlfriends who's a background dancer, and they were on tour at the it used to be called the Verizon Center in DC. I think it's what the MCI, MCI Center or whatever now. Mm-hmm. But we, that's how we met. And she, he was in town and she introduced, I came to see her and she introduced us and we were just friends for a few years. And then he told me he had a dream that I was supposed to be his wife. And I like laughed him out. I was like, yeah, right. And then I guess the joke's on me because what, 5 years later we're married.
Oh my God, that is so hysterical. Yeah. See, sometimes dreams really do come true.
Exactly. And I'm his dream woman.
Oh, that's so cute. Last question in the rapid fire. Do you watch any other Housewives or Bravo shows?
Yes, I love Real Housewives of Atlanta, Beverly Hills. I love also Shaws of Sunset. I've been watching since like back when like Lily Galici was still on.
Oh my God.
I love them. Yeah. Years ago.
So how are you feeling about this season of Beverly Hills? Obviously there's been so much to talk about, but like, just give us your take on this season so far.
Yeah. You know, I used to love them, or I still love them, but my heart really goes out to like the situation that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, both to the victims, and then, you know, with Erica, I'm pretty sure, you know, she can't speak on it due to like, you know, legal issues. So it's just, you know, anytime something, you know, she was doing such great things on Broadway and all of that. And then now, you know, to watch her in the situation now is just, it's real hard to watch, but
definitely.
You know, I mean, it's given real us life, all, though.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's given us a lot to digest over the course of the season. And I mean, I'm sure you've heard there's a 4-part reunion coming.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we are stoked about that.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how Garcelle is really highlighting her culture as well.
Yes.
Her Haitian background. I love that.
Oh my God, I know that whole dinner. I wanted to try every single thing.
I know, it looks so delicious.
Oh my God. So I want to get into the season of Potomac, obviously. You know, I've seen a lot of fans on social media say that you're a voice of reason in the group. So when it comes to conflict, do you often see both sides of an issue?
You know, honestly, I try to, just in life, not even just with conflict, but especially it comes in handy with conflict. You know, you have to kind of understand where both parties are coming from. Because oftentimes it's just like a miscommunication and it could be just one person really being the mediator, which, you know, I got like slammed for being, but somebody's just really coming in the middle and just saying, hey, you know, how about just look at it this way or understand, you know, maybe if you look at it from this point of view, then you'll have that aha moment. And then, you know, you guys could really just connect on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it's interesting you brought up the mediator thing because I wanted to ask you about, you know, the situation at the podcast launch party. It was basically after you had kind of defended Wendy in the situation. And then I think Mia called you a mediator. So what about that set you off in that moment?
Yeah, you know, I think mediators really need to be praised and not really talked down. Like, I don't see being a mediator as you know, a negative thing.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of caught me off guard the way that, you know, she brought it up. Like if somebody's trying to diffuse a situation and trying to bring peace amongst a friend group, like how could that possibly upset you? Like, I was just so baffled. But it wasn't really just that. There were a lot of things that were going on. And, you know, of course, with taping and stuff, we only, you know, it's only an hour show. So you don't see everything that happens behind the scenes, but there were a lot of remarks that were made. And finally, you know, I just felt like enough was enough. And it's like when anybody else comes, and wasn't she just playing the mediator like at the goddess party right before? So it's like, wow, look at the hypocrisy. I just couldn't believe it. But it's like when I'm trying to be the mediator in the situation, all of a sudden now it's like, oh, wow, such an issue.
Yeah, right. You felt maybe like a little ridiculed in that moment.
Absolutely.
Out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm, you know, and we were just coming together in like kumbaya, literally, you know, days before at the goddess party. So it was, it just really caught me off guard. But like I said, there was a lot of stuff that she had said to me and that I just didn't get why just the attacks towards me.
Right, right. So it was kind of a culmination of things in that moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I know some of the drama spilled over into social media last week. Is there anything that you want to address or clear up now that you have the mic?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I said what I had to say. It was unfortunate that I was on a, you know, I was on a family vacation for my mother-in-law's birthday, you know, minding my business and having a grand old time with my family, you know, and she sent a little spicy tweet. And it was never my goal, I don't usually like, you know, when they go low, I like to go high, but sometimes you will keep allowing someone to do something, they're going to keep doing it. And so I was like, enough is enough. And I just had to kind of feel like, I felt like I had to put her in her place. And it's like, let's get the facts straight if we're going to sit here and try to bash people. And yeah, for the record, I do not live with my mother. My mother lives with me. It's very common in Ethiopian culture and a lot of foreign households for, you know, you to move your parents in as they get older. And I live honestly to honor my parents, to take care of my parents. It's an honor to me because they have given so much and sacrificed so much, for my siblings and I. And so I hope that one day my kids will do that for me, you know, and I don't mm-hmm. see that as something that needs to be ridiculed or looked down upon. And I'm 1000% thankful that I'm in a position to where I could do that.
Right. Thankful and proud. And proud.
Absolutely.
To be like that. Yeah.
Damn proud.
Damn proud. All right. Well, let's get into the couples trip because there is so much. I loved this episode that we just saw. So when you arrived at the house, what did you think about the state that Gordon was in?
I was like, oh my gosh, he is like on 10. But at the time I was like, you know, I love a good time. So I didn't mind his extraness per se or his excitement. It was just kind of once he started speaking, because I didn't see like, you know, the disrespectful comments. I didn't really hear that because that already happened before I walked in. And so at first I was like, oh, great. Like, really, this is GVO, like good vibes. The energy's on 10. Like, let's take shots. Let's have a grand old time. But then it was like, okay, some of the comments were a little like cringeworthy. Like, I was like, oh, did you say that? Did you mean to say that? But I guess that's just, you know, how they communicate and that's how they talk. And that's the norm. And you'll see much more of that to
right.
come.
Well, I just thought it was so funny too, because before the trip even started, we saw him talking with Mia in the kitchen and he was like, I don't even really want to go. And Mia's like, yeah, he hates getting on these group trips. He doesn't like being around other people. But then the second he walks into the house, seemed to be like the Gordon show. You know, he was ready to go. He's ready to turn up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was definitely the Gordon show. And you'll see more of Gordon. He probably had the best time on the trip. Yeah, he probably will walk away thanking us for inviting him or
right,
Wendy
right.
and family. Yeah.
Well, upstairs, Mia walks in. She finds you guys talking about her and her husband. It's not really clear how much she heard, but once that conversation got started between you and Wendy, Candace and Mia, do you wish anything had gone differently now that you've seen that episode back?
I first wish I didn't raise my voice because I think immediately when you raise your voice, it seems like you're on attack mode. I just wanted her to understand that, you know, we're here trying to have a girls trip and enjoy one another. Like during the pandemic, like we've had to literally work in our homes. And so now that I'm stepping away from my home, the last thing I want to think about is business, is work. I really wanted to just enjoy the couples trip and be in the moment. And it just seems, and it wasn't just that during that moment, every single time we were around Mia, it's, oh, I'm a CEO. Oh, I'm a boss. Oh, you know, it's like, come on, girl. Like, I don't need your resume read to me every single time I'm with you. Like, let's just enjoy each other's company. And so I wish, you know, I still have the same message. I stand by my message. However, I wish I didn't raise my voice because sometimes with your delivery, the message is forgotten because they're focused so much on the delivery.
Yeah, right. Right. I see what you're saying. And also, you know, Mia bringing up the business, it's sort of this fine line with Candace and her husband, because he is husband, but he's husbander, he's manager. So their lines are a little blurred when it comes to personal and business. And so maybe that's where Mia was coming from. But you're right. I didn't even think of it from the perspective of like, oh my God, we've been stuck at home working this whole time. Can we please just talk about something other than work?
Exactly. And that's really what it was. Like, I'm not here to talk about work. You know, I have work waiting for me at home. Like, let me just enjoy this moment. Like, we're, you know, it's a beautiful property we're at with, you know, overlooking the ocean or the bay. Excuse me, I said ocean again.
It's water. It's a big body of water.
Yeah, it's water, whatever. Overlooking the body of water. But, you know, I just didn't, and it wasn't, that wasn't the first time. It just seemed like every single time it was something about her business, her being a CEO, her having employees, right, so on and so forth. It's just like, okay, it's a broken record.
Yeah, you're like, we get it. Okay.
Right.
Well, I mean, just a few minutes later, we have the already infamous, you know, salad toss moment. So did you expect things to escalate that much when you returned downstairs?
No, because I think in one scene, you actually see me like fixing my hair in like the refrigerator. I'm thinking, you know, okay, they're just, you know, having communication, you know, talking about what just happened. Because I also didn't hear the comment where Mia, you know, called us broke bitches. And so I didn't believe it. I was like, no, she didn't say that. And so I actually, you see, when I walked out, I asked Mia that. And then one thing you have to remember is Candace and I still at this point don't know the background on Mia's mother.
Right.
And so when she keeps saying your mama, or, you know, mentioning her mother, if I would have known the background, I would have definitely stepped in and said, hey, Candace, like pulled her aside, you know, let's not go, like, don't go there. You know, you could say whatever you want to say, but, you know, and you'll just have to wait and see till next episode to see how it plays out. But definitely, you know, you'll see a change once, you know, we find out what happens.
Yeah. Or, well, you know, context is everything, right? I mean, having that. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think your husband was thinking this whole time?
Oh my gosh. My husband is so chill, like mellow. He could be in like World War III and he'll just be like, okay, well, what do we have to do to get out? You know, how are we going to figure this out? Like, nothing really phases him. I think through his career and profession, he's just so used to people being on 10 and constantly putting out fires. So it was like, okay, nothing new, another day.
So, right. He's like, I've seen this all before.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I've heard that you will be attending the reunion, which is filming very soon. So how are you feeling? Are you nervous going into it?
I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to sitting down with the ladies and, you know, just getting clarity on certain issues and, you know, speaking my part. I think there was a lot of miscommunication. Some of the things after filming, you know, some relationships I thought we were good. And then, you know, it turned into a Twitter or social media war. So I'm really looking forward to sitting down and getting down to the bottom of it.
Yeah. So specifically with Mia at this point.
Yeah. Specifically with Mia, but then also seeing how some of the other situations with the other ladies, also seeing how that plays out. Even with Mia and Candace. Like I said, you know, a lot of people are assuming that we knew the background of Mia's mother at the, you know, while we're filming, and we didn't, you know, we didn't know until after the fact.
Right. Right. Most importantly, do you have your look ready?
I'm actually still working on the look, to be completely honest. So you guys, you know, pray for me, have me, send me all the good, but I need GVO. Right now, like, send me all of that, because I am hoping in the next 2.5 days that it, you know, it comes together.
Well, maybe you should like check out some Beyonce music videos for inspiration. Maybe that will help.
I know something. I need to, hopefully, we're working overtime.
Well, we are sending you a lot of GVO for your reunion look and for the whole day, because you know how these things can go. They can go left very quickly. So lots of GVO for you in the next couple of days.
Thank you so much. I'm going to need
welcome.
It.
Well, thank you, Escala, for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. And best of luck at the reunion.
It was my pleasure. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Salt Lake City?
Yes.
Do we think Jen only apologized to make herself feel better? Or do you think she genuinely feels remorse?
If she doesn't feel remorse, I will say that was a really good apology.
Okay, fair.
Because you know, like I've been saying, it's really hard to get her to take any accountability. But I felt like finally when she did apologize to Meredith, it felt really sincere to me.
Yeah.
And especially that she volunteered to apologize to Brooks.
Yes, that was key. And we know in the preview for next week, we actually get a sit down between the two of them, which is major. So I agree. I think she's taking the right steps. It took her a second to get there. And Lisa really had to work her through that. But
and Stu. Stu was such a voice of reason in the whole thing. And I was like really able. He's like the Jen whisperer.
Yeah.
Right, I just want to tell you, Meredith, I'm sorry. The last thing I would ever want to do is hurt Brooks.
Oh, my God. But my favorite comment. Well, first of all, I did just love that Whitney and Heather were sort of watching Jen and Lisa trying to talk down Jen. And they were sort of like giving commentary on the
whole thing. Peanut gallery over there.
And then I love that at one point Heather said, Jen was like, they're not even saying I said it. I liked something. And she goes, likes hurt.
What a 2021 phrase. It's true though. Yeah. Imagine seeing something like that.
Right.
About yourself.
Right. Like if someone said, Megan is an ugly twat and it's like liked by Eric J. Mack. Like, yes, that would hurt my feelings.
You'd be like, oh, guess we know how he really feels now.
Right.
It's the person who runs my account, Megan. It's not me, so don't worry about it. Okay. I had no idea we were getting a friend of this season. Do I even work at Bravo? Because I didn't know she was coming.
Does she not look like Sarah Paulson to you?
Oh, my God. I have in my notes, she looks like Sarah Paulson and Ariana Maddox had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Certain angles, I see Ariana, but in her interview moments, I mean, Sarah Paulson, 100%.
Angie really delivered this episode in a way where I was like, why isn't she a housewife?
I know. She appeared and showed up and delivered.
Delivered.
I was like, hello.
Especially because she's definitely doing some sneaky stuff, in my opinion.
Okay, yes. I mean, I think we should just get right into that part because you know I love Lisa Barlow.
Mm-hmm.
I updated my Slack picture.
Yes.
We run Slack, you know, communicate through Slack here at Bravo. Updated my picture to a big zoom in of her face when she's smiling about the Del Taco fish tacos. So I feel like Lisa was completely blindsided and felt cornered in this situation because Angie has just shown up to the scene. She has this friendship with Whitney, but Lisa's known her for a really long time. I don't think Lisa expected Angie to have this much story already. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm curious about a few things. We see Angie ask Lisa, it's okay if I, you know, talk to Whitney, right? And then we see Angie at lunch with Whitney saying, Lisa told me that I shouldn't acknowledge you as my cousin. And I'm like, okay, so did that happen off camera?
Yeah.
Or is she straight up lying?
She doesn't like that we're friends.
No, she asked me to not acknowledge you as my cousin.
Right. I suspect that conversation happened off camera.
Right.
In the sense that maybe Lisa wanted Angie to be associated to her when she arrived on the show and not so much with Whitney. We do know that Lisa likes to control things and manage certain things, but I still felt like I can't decide if Angie was being shady or dodgy in the way she was handling this.
I just know that I agree with Lisa and that it's a really thin premise to use the fact that you're distant cousins with Whitney as a reason. Because like, really, I agree. It's like me saying, well, Eric and I are related because we both came from Adam and Eve, you know? Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't, by that logic, Angie should be friends with everyone in Utah because,
right.
You know, like there were so many descendants. You know
yeah,
what I
exactly.
mean? It doesn't, whatever.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, okay?
But, because I have a feeling she did mess with Angie's event.
You suspect that she was involved in the whole thing.
In the caterer dropping out.
What I'm concerned about is what it was that Lisa said to the caterer And this is operating under a lot of assumptions, but we know that this charity event was a fundraiser for a trans youth organization. So was it something that Lisa dropped to this catering company knowing that they might have been, I don't know, anti-trans or something? Like, how did that communication go? Was it simply just that Lisa was like, well, I've worked with you a lot and, you know, I'd rather you not work with these people? Or was it related to the specific event? That's where my mind went.
God, I hope it's not that.
I know, but I'm just like, I also think that the way Lisa reacted didn't show me guilt. It showed me just, you know, blindsided, backed into a corner, confused, not expecting this storyline, so to speak, to be on the show.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm conflicted. What do you think happened? You think Lisa was just straight up like, I'd rather you not work with these people because I've worked with you guys?
It's just that they referenced her in the text.
Right.
So it made me think that Lisa is friends with them and might have said, I think, maybe she didn't give the order, so to speak, but maybe she hinted at she would not like them to do the event. But then again, why would she do that? I don't know.
Now, the interesting thing is we know that assistants have played a role in the background of Housewives dramas in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Beverly Hills.
Oh, Beverly Hills,
you know,
sure.
John Blizzard.
Yep.
I'm thinking last season, Atlanta, Drew's assistant was getting involved in the profit mess. The text message referenced Lisa, but also her assistant.
Mm.
So was this something that was maybe orchestrated in the background by somebody who wanted to stir the pot a little bit? Because Lisa said, what does that have to do with me? I don't understand what that has to do with me. And a few minutes later, she denied having something to do with it. She didn't do it up front, which was a little suspicious, but ultimately denied it. And then did seem pretty upset about the whole thing. So I personally think Lisa didn't have anything to do with it. And maybe something else was orchestrated in the background.
Mm.
That's my theory.
It's a good one.
Would you ever get a vampire facial?
Something happened. I'm trying to remember. It's when I was working as a beauty editor and I was going to get one.
Ooh.
And they drew my blood. And then I think I was supposed to come back the next day, like they were going to spin it or something like that. And they charged me personally. And it was like $900 or something.
Oh my God.
I'm a beauty editor who's making nothing. And I was like, what? Because you're usually invited by press people to do these things so you can write about
them. Right, for free.
For free. And I was so panicked about this that it just was a huge mess. I ended up not, you know, having to pay for it. But that's what I think about every time I hear vampire facial.
So they just have your blood somewhere. they're basically cloning you is what's happening now.
Yeah.
There's another Megan walking around here.
Yeah.
With really a beautiful facial. They gave her a vampire facial when she came out. Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
This location, it's one of my favorite movie scenes ever.
Yes.
I love Kill Bill.
Love it.
And Volume 2, Kill Bill Volume 2. But that epic scene, as soon as they walked in, I was like, oh my God, that's from Kill Bill. And then the second later, they were like, this Kill Bill was shot here. I was like, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. It was a really beautiful setting for an episode.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, not just the place, but the decorations, the dancers and stuff. It was like, God, this is visually an amazing episode.
Very finale.
Yes.
Feeling.
Yes.
Well done, Crystal.
Right.
She knows how to throw a party.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Hilton.
Yeah.
She's been giving us a lot this season, right?
Right, of course.
The last couple of episodes, she's been giving us some really amazing hats.
So you liked the lampshade hat?
I loved the lampshade hat.
Ugh. All right.
Not for me personally.
Well, God, I would hope not.
Not for you personally.
Thank you.
For Kathy Hilton, absolutely.
Right.
It reminded me of Leah McSweeney last season.
With the bucket hat?
The mesh bucket hat. In that it was a statement. Like, I think what Kathy delivered is what Leah was hoping to deliver with this very sort of fashion avant-garde thing. But I think Kathy gave it to us.
I just love that when you get to a certain level of rich, you start to look very much the opposite.
Yeah. You just don't care.
Right.
Anymore.
And then, but it's fine because you're rich, so you're just eccentric.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, this hat was $1,500.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if you like it or not.
Right.
I can afford it.
Exactly.
Also, Sutton calling herself poor. She's like, this is the poorest I've ever felt walking in this house. I was like, is it?
That house was insane, though.
So insane. And the fact that they were essentially building it from the ground up to move in. And then Rick was like, you know what, Kathy? I don't wanna. And she's like, all right, we won't. We'll just sell it for $54 million. It'll be fine. Last week, we had talked a little bit about Kyle.
Stirring the pot.
And she went right ahead and did it again in this episode.
I mean, my God. Yeah, it's laughable at this point. Like, she's not even subtle about it. It's like, we're talking to Crystal. We're figuring out what are the customs for Chinese New Year. And then Kyle's like, well, I'll take that as my in.
Yeah, well, I wonder if at the reunion, Sutton will address this. Because there's been several instances this season of Kyle doing this to Sutton.
And every time it works to Sutton's disadvantage.
Yeah.
And she has, you know, once again had to put herself out there in front of all these people at a dinner party just for Erica to shut it down.
Right.
Again.
Right. Well, Sutton hopefully will learn after this season to just be a little bit more conscious of what she shares with Kyle.
Yeah.
Because I think she's really leaned on her and confided in her multiple times. And it seems like Kyle is very willing to throw that away.
Right.
And I don't know. I will say, I'll give Kyle credit for addressing Erica's social media posts and how that's being received by people in the public. Erica's response, however, trolling the trolls.
I don't think it's healthy in the court of public opinion with Instagram posts and the captions.
Oh, God. And
as, I know, but as your friend, I look and I go, okay, I know. I'm saying that as your friend.
Do I troll the trolls? Yes, I do.
Like, you want to talk social media, best practices, what you should and shouldn't be doing on your platforms? That's an example of it.
Right.
You know, you can't get to their level because it's going to give them more ammunition to fire back at you.
Absolutely. It also, the whole thing with Erica and Sutton, though, is like, so that whole moment you guys had on the trip, that meant nothing?
Right.
It was just for show or what?
Well, I know. I think Sutton is trying to do the right thing. She knows the season is wrapping up. She's trying to get back into a better place with Erica. Maybe they'll never be friends the way they once were, and that's okay. I think Sutton understands that. But she wanted to walk away. The whole point of this dinner, of this celebration, was to move into the Chinese New Year without any baggage.
Yeah.
Without any bad juju. Leave it all behind. And Erica, just a week prior, whenever it was, apologized to her, but now doesn't seem to want to move forward in the way that Sutton is willing to. So I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think about the fact that Garcelle told Lisa Rinna she wants to see her apologize to Denise?
I would love to see a reach out to Denise at some point.
Garcelle's giving Rinna a taste of her own medicine. Rinna's always saying, own it. You got to own it. Then you need to own what you did to Denise. And I think Garcelle putting that out there and saying, this is something that for our friendship to move forward, I think it would be good for you to make amends, to fix what is broken with Denise.
Right.
And I think that's a fair thing to ask. I don't think she's telling Rinna, you need to go make up with her and the two of you be best friends and whatever. She's just saying, be accountable,
right,
for what happened and the way you treated her. I don't think it's right, and it would be important to me and our relationship for you to fix it.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable.
Right.
Do you think Rinna will do it?
No. And I don't even know that I think Rinna should.
Really?
We have to remember that, like, Denise was real. I don't know.
You think more so for, do you think Rinna doesn't necessarily owe Denise an apology?
What? It's like, does Sutton owe Erica an apology? Sutton doesn't believe Erica. Lisa doesn't believe Denise. Isn't that okay?
Right. When you put it like that.
I don't know.
There was so much more.
Yeah.
To the Rinna and Denise thing.
No, we can't go back, though.
We can't go back. Though Camille would like Denise to return. Did you see her tweet?
No, what did
she say? She was like, Camille's been making commentary on social media this whole season. And, you know, it's fun to just look at. I don't like any of those tweets because we know how dangerous that can be. But she was like, Dorit's been boring this season. Get rid of her. PK is the only interesting thing that's happened this season when it relates to her storyline. And bring back Denise.
Wow.
It was like, hot take from Camille.
Wow.
Do you want to make any predictions for the reunion? I know you've seen some of it. I've heard it's really good. Maybe if you can give us a little tease of something to come.
I don't think anyone's mind is going to be changed about Erica, no matter where you stand on the issue.
Okay.
Is my prediction.
Yeah. It's only going to solidify wherever you already stand.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say about Beverly Hills, it's kind of funny. Our team now works on a couple different brands. Like, we work on Bravo, but also Oxygen, USA, Sci-Fi. This past week at WWE Raw, you know how the fans and the audience often make signs and are holding things up. Someone was holding a sign that said, "Did Erica Jane know?"
Oh my God, that is so funny.
We call that symphony here whenever there's like crossover between brands. And that was one that was unexpected.
That's amazing.
But shout out to whoever that person
was. Yeah.
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Okay. So my rose is from Vanderpump Rules, and it's the fact that Lala was so open about how much she wanted to make the New York Times bestseller and how open she was about being crushed that she didn't. Because my pet peeve in life is when people can't just make themselves vulnerable about things they want. Like, I have this friend who is looking for a new job, and anytime she doesn't get it, she'll say, "I didn't want it that much." And it's, you know, and I get, like, you're self-preserving in a way, but I also feel like it's not honest, you know?
Right.
And the fact that so many people would never admit how much they want to be on the bestseller list, you know? Like, they would act like, well, you know, it's fine. Like, I just, you know, I wrote a book and that's the important thing. And I love that Lala really owned how much she wanted that and how disappointing it was to not get it.
That's such an interesting perspective because, spoiler alert, I was going to make her reaction my thorn.
Why?
Only because I felt as though it was a little bit bratty and entitled. But I understand when you word it that way that you just appreciate she was being open and honest. I kind of get it now.
Yeah.
I kind of get it. My rose was Z on Below Deck Med falling into the bushes a la Luann in Mexico.
Yes.
It's like, has that been memed yet? I hope somebody memes it. If not, I'll do it. Okay, so what was your thorn?
My thorn, I think, also from Vanderpump Rules, was a little bit Sandoval. You know, I just think he's still being really mean to Katie, and I don't like it.
I don't need somebody coming in and fake working as a maitre d', somebody who sat and built Legos all in quarantine.
No, she did. Oh, she did so much more than that.
I don't need somebody telling me our last names, and that thing is uninspired.
Nothing about his ego, though, with organizing this event and then giving himself the
win. Maybe I should say that.
The win.
Maybe
you can say both. You can say all of it.
Yeah, and I think that rubbed me the wrong way, too. Just, we know he's extra, and a lot of people love that about him.
Yeah, that's what I love.
But you know.
Yeah, I get it.
I get it.
It's a little much. It's the mustache. It's the goatee, I think, that's got you.
Oh, my God. Actually, maybe I should just make that my thorn.
It might be your thorn every episode this season.
I don't like a goatee.
Well, my thorn was going to be Lala's reaction to not making the New York Times bestseller list, but I hear what you're saying. So I'll just make it the way that she was steamrolling Charlie in that conversation, and especially the moment where she's just pointing at her and being like, enough, enough. It's like, all right, well, let Charlie talk. And obviously Charlie was struggling in that moment and revealed a little bit more. And we got that really personal interview moment with her talking about the whole pasta incident, because that was a big joke last season. That was a lot of people being like, oh, this girl, Charlie. I mean, I don't totally remember, but I feel like I probably said stuff about Charlie back then. And then she really grew on me over the course of last season. And this season, I'm excited. She's a part of the larger cast. So I just didn't like the way Lala was treating her. But it seems like they worked it out.
Yeah.
That's important.
I'm allowed to say what I want to say. You're not the only one that's not allowed to say things.
This is what I'm saying to you.
What are you saying, Lala? Explain
well, let
it
me
to
speak,
me.
Bitch.
Don't call me a f***ing bitch. Then, if you want to play this f***ing game, we can play this f***ing game.
Enough.
Real.
Enough.
Don't tell me enough.
Enough.
Don't.
Let
There's
me speak.
There's one person you can't f***ing play with, and that's f***ing me.
We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.